Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Are y'all ready to worship the Lord this morning? I tell you, today is a special day to me because the day after or the weekend after Thanksgiving is a kind of a letdown, just a wee bit, isn't it? Maybe some of you are still having friends and family over, but mine seems to be pretty much over now. It's one thing that's left. Any guesses? Leftovers. Probably leftover turkey, leftover ham, chicken and dressing, turkey and dressing, whatever it is. We're going to be eating leftovers for a while, at least in my house. But praise God, it's all good. I want to tell you a story this morning, and it's a true story. It's about a nation that started out kind of small, and they built everything around God's law. Everything to do what was right, all the wrongs, all their laws, everything was built on God's law. And then something happened. They kind of took their eyes away from God. They started sinning and putting idols and things in front of God. What country would you think I was talking about this morning? America? It definitely could be America. But this morning I'm talking about Israel. It's the group of folks in Israel that started out doing everything they could to worship the Lord and do right by Him and to follow His laws. This morning, they had gotten so bad and were doing so many bad things as far as worshiping Baal and things of that nature instead of God. God just kind of put His finger on them. He took His hand of blessing off and allowed another group of people, the Midianites, to come in and just completely devastate them. And they were killing them. They were doing everything they could to destroy them. This brings us up to a story of a man named Gideon. There's a guy, he's just a regular guy. It says that the story goes something like this, that in Judges, in the sixth chapter, it talks about Gideon, that an angel appeared to Gideon, and what he did, he just said, basically, he greeted him as a warrior. He said, tidings to you, warrior. And he's going, ooh, man, he doesn't even know who I am. He didn't know it was an angel, that the Lord had sent an angel to talk to him. And he says, man, you don't understand. He says, I'm not anything special. I'm just a regular guy. And the angel says, well, what I want you to do is God is going to send you and you're going to defeat the Midianites. And he's going, whoo, what? Me? Who am I? Who am I that you would choose me? He said, this is what he said. He said, he balked at choosing God, what God had him to do. He said, his tribe was the weakest tribe in all of Manasseh. And he was the least of all the men in his family. So why would God pick him? He said, his clan was insufficient, and his status was insufficient to be able to raise up an army to fight the Midianites. But he told him, he said, I have chosen you for this task. But his faith was so weak. I mean, every time he turned around, he was questioning God. Basically just saying, really, you don't know what you're doing by picking me. I'm not the guy that you need for this job. He said, but God said, I'm going to pick you. You're the one. I want you to do it. In Judges 6:17, it starts here with a story. It says, the Lord said to him, I'll be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Gideon replied this, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it really is the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you, he answered, and I will stay here until you return, the angel said. Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat, and with a basket of flour, he made some bread without yeast. Then he carried the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, and he brought them out and presented them to the angel, who was under a great tree. The angel of God said to him, place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it. And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the tip of his staff in his hand, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all that he had brought, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Woo. I tell you, this surprised Gideon. He didn't realize who he was entertaining. Have you ever entertained somebody and you really didn't know who they were? Maybe somebody famous. You just treated them like a regular person. You talked to them. You might even been rude to them. You know? But here he was entertaining an angel with a message to him from God the Father. And all he had was questions and excuses. But when he realized, Gideon that is, realized that he had been in the presence of God's angel, he feared for his life, thinking that God was surely going to kill him for just being in his presence. But God told him, he said, don't worry, I'm surely not going to kill you for being able to be in the presence of this angel. He said, I want you to go and take down the altar of Baal that's at your father's house and replace it with a new altar to God. He said, and take the second bull that you own. Evidently, he had two. He said, take the second one that's 7 years old. And he said, and I want you to sacrifice him on this new altar. And there was an Asherah pole, which is a, back then it was a sacred pole that had to do with worship with Baal. And he said, I want you to take that wood, chop that thing down, and use that wood to make the fire with, to make the sacrifice, and on this new altar. And then the Spirit of the Lord during that time took over Gideon. After he was filled with the Spirit, Gideon asked again for another sign. You know, how many times does God have to show us that he is with us and he is all powerful? I mean, time and time again, he blesses us and we question it. We go, well, was that God or was it just me? Did I just work extra hard and this is the bonus that I'm getting from my company? God didn't have anything to do with it. The blessings that I receive are because I earned them, because of all the hard work I did. In Judges 6:36 through 40, it says this. Then Gideon said to God, if you're truly going to use me to rescue Israel, as you promised, prove it to me in this way. I'll put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight. If the fleece is wet with dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I will know that you're going to help me rescue Israel as you promised. And that is just what happened. When Gideon got up early the next morning, he squeezed the fleece and wrung out the whole a whole bowl full of water. Now, this guy's really got the nerve. This is what he does next. He says to God, please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. This guy's a knucklehead, isn't he? He's hard to convince. Let me use the fleece for one more test. This time, let the fleece remain dry while the ground around is wet with dew. So that night, God did as Gideon asked. The fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground was covered with dew. You know, don't think too bad about Gideon. Don't think he's such an oddball, such a knucklehead, because, you know, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, ask us to do things all the time. And we even do the same thing. We question God and go, well, is this really what the Lord wants for my life? Is this really the direction that you want me to go? If it is, let me know somehow that this is you, Lord. How many of you have ever had the devil try to tell you to do something good? How many of you ever had the devil to try to draw you to Christ? Draw you into service with the Lord? To draw you into doing something good for someone? To love someone? To encourage someone? How many of you have ever had the devil do that? So when you hear that voice, first thing you can think of is, well, that sure isn't coming from the evil one. That's coming from the Lord. Because he's never going to do anything. God will never contradict his word. Amen? Amen? Y'all awake? Or I lost you already. But he just kept on asking God to give him signs. But now Gideon finally is ready to fight. He brought together an army. God allowed him to get a mass of 33,000 men. Woo! That's a lot of guys, ain't it? I mean, these men are ready to fight. But the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. So he said, whoever is timid or afraid, they may leave the mountain and go home. So if there was anybody there that was just a little bit unsure, a little scared, or a little shaky, he said, go on home. It's okay. So at that point, 22,000 men said, I'm going home. Man, these guys, I'm going home. I think that's the best thing for me to do because I'm just a little bit nervous and I'm not sure that I trust the Lord enough to do what he said he's going to do. So that left 10,000 to fight, but God said, you still got too many. Can't you imagine Gideon? He's thinking about the army of the Midianites where he saw them. They're just like just salt, this pepper, just strode all over the land, just specks everywhere, and it just hordes of them. And he's thinking, man, Lord, it would have been a whole lot easier if we'd have used the 33,000, but now you're busting me. I busted down to 10. Now you're saying I still have too many. I mean, this guy's getting nervous. So Gideon, this is the way God told him to do it. He had Gideon separate the men into two groups. 5,000 over here, 5,000 over there. And he led them to the spring. And he says, any man that reaches down and cups his hand and reaches down and cups the water and drinks it, that's one group. Any man, the other group, whoever kneels down, gets on their knees and just goes down and drinks like a dog. That's what the scripture says. They just sucked it up with their mouth. That's in this second group. And all the ones that did it on their knee and drank with their mouth, send them home. The others, what? The ones that cupped, what do you say we're going to do? We're going to keep those guys. We are now down to 300 men. 33,000, now there's only 300. God says, these are the guys I'm going to use. I choose these men to fight the battle for me. And this is the way he did it. He said, I want you to take these 300 men. He said, Gideon, I want you in the middle. And I want you to go up to this is at nighttime. He says, come up to the edge of their camp. You in the middle and 100 on each side. So that's 300. Two on this side, one in the middle. He said, and what I want you to do is I'm going to give each one of y'all ram's horn. And when I tell you to, I want you to blow it. And then every one of them has got this little lamp of fire. It's just a lamp. He said, and when I tell you to blow that horn, you throw that thing down and bust it. and then it'll look like a big fire. He said, that's what I want you to do. So Gideon got up there. They got ready. They looked down at all those folks down there in the Midianites. It's nighttime. They're, you know, it's right in the middle of shift change, you might say. The guard change, they're changing guards. And all of a sudden, they hear this horn blow, three of them. And then all of a sudden, they see fire all around them. And there's only one way to go, and that's that way. But what happens is God takes time to make sure that they panic bad and they start killing each other. These guys have done nothing. These 300 that are sitting here, they haven't done one thing yet except toot a little horn and break some lamps. That's all they did. And they just sit there and destroyed themselves. And there was a few left over, and then these 300 chased the ones that were left and finished killing off those that did it. I tell you, God really didn't need those 300 men, did he? Why do you think that he got them down to 300? The scripture tells us why. It's because he didn't want the Israelites to get the glory for this battle. He wanted to get the glory from it. They started killing each other and running crazy, running into each other. And they just destroyed themselves. All he needed Gideon to do and his men was to do one thing. And that's to do exactly what he asked them to do. Obedience. Obedience. Obey me and do what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of the army. You know, God wants to do great things in our lives. Wouldn't you agree? He wants to do just the most ultimate thing you can imagine in your life. He wants to share blessings with you without measure. But all he asks us to do is what? To believe and obey what he asks us to do. When he tells you to do something, he expects you to do it. But there's one thing that God insists on, is he wants the credit for it. Whatever he does in your life, he wants to get the glory. That's what that means. He wants the credit for what is going on good in your life, because he's the one causing it to happen. Just imagine if, here, just say you're a rancher and you hire a couple of guys to paint your fence. Okay? You hire it. These guys come up there and they paint your fence, and I mean, it's the best job you've ever seen. And then the owner, someone asked the owner, maybe a couple of months later, and says, man, your fence really looks fine. How did you do that? Oh, I painted that sucker myself. It took me a long time, but I sanded it down and I put that rust killer on it and I painted it. Now, you could argue the fact that he paid to have it done, so he did do it in a way. But technically, he did not give the credit to the guys that he hired, did he? Believe me, that's the way we do God. God does something wonderful in our life. Wonderful and exciting. And we go, man, how did this happen? Oh, it's just luck. Man, I'm lucky. Not giving God the credit at all. It's just, I worked hard for it. You know, I worked for that money. I worked for this promotion. God got no credit at all for what he was doing. But he wants all the glory for what's being done. You know, if you remember to give him his due, God will even bless you even more. I said in the beginning that I told the story of a country that was kind of disintegrating, shooting itself in the foot. And I said, that could be America. I tell you, America is in the same state as Israel was at that time. Now, we drive trucks. We got airplanes. We do war just a little bit different. But technically, we really do it the same. We kill, they kill. It's still war. But we have gotten to the point, y'all, that we need to turn back to God. That's what happened to the Israelites. They got sick and tired of the Midianites whooping on them. And they said, Lord, can you please help us? And he said, all you got to do is turn back to me. Turn back to me and worship me. Get rid of all the idols. You know, what have you got? What idol are you worshiping? What's more important to you than the Lord? What do you put before God? Is it your job? Is it money? Is it your spouse? Is it your family? What is it that you do? Is it roping? Is it ranch rodeoing? What do you put before God? Whatever you put before God, that's your idol. That's what you worship. It's the same thing. We are in the same exact situation Israel is in. Now, we don't have an Asherah pole, and we don't have an altar to Baal, but we've got an altar built to something else. Whatever you spend your time doing other than serving the Lord and working for the Lord and doing what he asks you to do, that's what you're using as an idol. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. What does America need today? We as Americans. When we say America, we are Americans, are we not? What do we have to do for God to start blessing our land again? We need to pick the right person in the White House. We need to get a new Congress, new House of Representatives. If we get all those guys straight, our country's going to turn around, right? If we get rid of all the politicians and flush them down the toilet, all these things, none of them work. It doesn't matter who is in the White House, y'all. I hate to tell you, whether it's a Democrat, whether it's a Republican, or an independent, it really does not matter. What matters is who the people worship. Who do the people turn to? Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not God. The majority of America has turned its back on America. And I hate to say it, but I think God is starting to turn his back on us. But here is the hope. He says, who are called by his name, that's us. We are called Christians for a reason, because we've accepted Christ, right? Says, if we will, the ones that are called by his name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear them from heaven, and I'll forgive their sins and restore their land. All God is saying is we just need to turn back to him. That's the hope we have. And you're going, how do we get everybody in America to turn back to God? Hate to tell you, but it's you. You are the first one. You're the one that has to make the commitment. You have to say, I am going to turn back to God. Me and my family, me and my house, we are going to turn back to the Lord. We're going to start serving the Lord like the Lord wants us to. The heck what everybody else is doing. You know, you don't have any control over your neighbor, do you? Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But I sure don't. He can do whatever he wants to in his house. Even if it's unlawful, he can still do it. Now, he may get caught doing it, but he can still do whatever he wants to on his place. All we have control over is what we do. We as Christians, we as believers, it's up to us to get our house straight, to get our church straight before we start worrying about the world. If we can get everybody on the same page, all going in the same direction, what do you think would happen? It's hard to do it when everybody wants to go a different direction. Everybody thinks that we ought to do this, we ought to do that. But when you get a group of people all together going in the same direction, all serving the Lord, all loving folks like the Lord says to do and being a witness for the community, what do you think will happen in this area? Woo! I'm telling you, people are going to start getting saved. People are going to start saying, man, I don't know what it is with that group of folks down there, but them people's crazy. Man, they just loving everybody. They're just sharing the gospel with everybody they come with, come around. They tell everybody about the Lord and how much the Lord loves them and ask how they can help them. If we're all doing it, that's how you change the world. Starts with yourself. It starts with your family. It starts with the body of Christ. Then the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. Lord, I felt this morning like the devil was just, there was a war going on in this place as I was, from the time I started playing to singing, Father, to when I started stammering with the message, I could feel, Father, that there was something powerful going on because Satan was not going to lay down for this message. He was fighting the whole time I was up here. I just pray that the Holy Spirit, Father, that you talked to folks this morning, that you reached out, that you are drawing people to you, not by what I said, not what I'm, anything I've done, Lord, but I just pray that the Holy Spirit spoke through me in spite of my stammering speech. You did for Moses, you did for many others, Lord. I just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide us and draw us to you, that we may serve you and we may love others the way that Jesus did. If there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that before they leave, Father, before they leave this building, that they come and pray and accept you as their Lord and Savior, turn their life over to you. It's time to get off of the fence, Lord. We've been sitting on it for way too long in this country. If there's anyone here, Lord, that has gone down the wrong trail, they're yours, but they've wandered off, Lord, and got down a trail. They went down that rabbit hole of sin. I just pray, Father, that you just shine that light and draw them back to you. Help us, Lord, to turn our area, our families, our church, everything back to you. And all this will give you the glory. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we pray. Amen. I want to thank y'all for being here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. If you're looking for a home, we're a little light today because we got a lot of folks that's with family, got a lot of folks that's sick. But if you're looking for a church home where you can serve the Lord, find a place where you can do what God asks you to do when he tells you to do something, I pray you consider Common Ground Cowboy Church. It's a loving church. Amen. Guys, we love each other. We care about each other. I just pray that you care enough about everybody else that you invite them to come. Wherever God sends you this week, I pray that he protects you and keeps you safe and blesses you and brings you back. Till next time we see you. God bless you.